إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, somebody asked me a question yesterday, so I want to clarify that today. A question related to committing a sin and making tawbah, and this, doing this continuously, meaning you commit the sin, you make tawbah, then next day you go and commit the sin again, then you make tawbah, then you make the sin again, you make tawbah. Now, one of the thing I want to say is two important aspects of this. One is that one of the causes for su' al-khatima, for a bad ending, meaning dying without Islam, is what is called israr alal maasi, to insist on sin, to repeatedly commit sin. This is one of the reasons for a bad ending. The scholars of Islam are all agreed upon this fact, that if a person deliberately commits a sin, see, there is a difference, I have mentioned this before also, there is a difference between a mistake and a crime. You are driving on the road, somebody suddenly comes before your car, you are unable to control the car, you hit the person, he dies. Right? So, effectively you killed a man. Is this a mistake or is it a crime? How will the court judge it? Will they judge you for manslaughter? Or will they judge you for murder? Very simple. It's not murder. It may be manslaughter. You may actually get off completely free, because if it is proven that you were within the speed limit and that you were driving according to the driving rules, and this man suddenly came out from behind something, or you could not have anticipated, you tried to brake but it was not effective, then it is not your fault at all. There is no punishment for you whatsoever. If that is not the case, there may be some punishment for this, some fine or something, and matter is over. But on the other hand, supposing exactly the same thing, you were driving, a man came before you and you hit him. But then it is proven that that man was somebody you knew, against whom you had some issue, and that you planned this whole thing in such a way that when the man comes out of his office, when the man comes out of his house, I will be there with my car and I am going to kill him. Now, this, if this is proven, then you will hang. If you look at the incident itself, it is exactly the same thing. You were driving a car, you hit somebody. Let me give you another example. Rasulullah said, giving gifts to each other increases the love between people. So, alhamdulillah, I give a gift to my friend, alhamdulillah, this is good, this is a sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward the giver of the gift. And to accept such a gift from your friend, which is given out of love, alhamdulillah, this is also a good thing, there is nothing wrong with that. So, what is the action? Action is, A, gave something of value to B. This is the action. So, if you had a camera there, the camera is recording this. But exactly the same thing. A is giving something of value to B. But who is B? B is an income tax officer, B is a customs officer, B is some whoever. Who A is giving this gift with the intention that B must give him some advantage. So, it is still a gift. Now, is it a sunnah? Now, is it something which is rewardable? No, it is actually the exact opposite. This what you have done is haram. What you have done is something which is punishable. Yeah, because there is giving of bribes and taking of bribes is completely and totally haram, prohibited in Islam, and it is punishable. So, although the action is the same, I can give you many such examples, but it is not required. I think this is enough. So, point I am making is that here is a situation where a person commits a sin because he was not aware, because he suddenly fell into temptation, because, you know, some trap Wallahu alam. I don't want to sit here and give you create imaginary situations, but this thing happened. Then the person immediately makes tawbah, he is extremely sorry, he apologizes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is contrite and so on and so forth. And he never goes near that thing again for the rest of his life. That is like a big, red flag for him. He'll never go near that again. This is one scenario. And inshallah al-Mustan, we have all the faith in the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. On the other hand, you have somebody who does that thing again and again and again. And then he says, no, you see, after every time I commit zina, I make tawbah. Does it make sense? It's a completely insane statement. I mean, nobody with half a brain will even say something like that because it is so stupid. That is the reason why Islam, sometimes these restrictions of Islam seem to be oppressive in our modern ways of life, where you say, even if you shaking the hand of a woman is prohibited in Islam. You might say, what is this unnecessary, extremism? So what? If I just... The issue in Islam is not a question of so what. What Islam does is that if something is haram, if something is a crime, if something is a sin, then Islam not only prohibits that, but it prohibits and closes the doors of everything where there is a potential of leading to that. Even though the door may not look so significant. But Islam shuts all the doors. So now, if all the doors are shut, then you cannot commit that thing. Right? So for example, Islam says, do not go to a party or do not go to a place where there is free mixing of genders. Men and women are together. We are not talking about a work situation. For example, you might say, I'm a doctor in a hospital, I'm a surgeon, the nurses are all female, what must I do? No problem. You can go, you can do surgery. We are not talking about that. We are talking about social mixing, social gathering, where there is no reason for this. There is no particular work reason or anything like this. Just you are having a party, there is some gathering. Men and women mixing together, this is prohibited in Islam. It is not acceptable. Even if you put a religious reason to it and you say, oh, but you see, I was going to Islamic course. No. Even if it's an Islamic course, there has to be segregation. There need not be a physical boundary, meaning that there doesn't have to be a wall. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to have the men and women both in the masjid. Men were in the front, women were in the back. This is acceptable. But everyone, khalt malt, as they say, everyone sort of mixing together, sitting next to each other, chatting and joking and flirting, this is not permissible in Islam, no matter what reason you give to that. Today, the tragedy is that today people do all of this in the name of Islamic conferences. So this is an Islamic conference. How can I say you have an Islamic conference with haram behavior in it? I mean, what kind of Islamic conference is that? Right? So this is not permissible. Number one. Number two is that that's why Islam closed the doors for this. So don't shake hands, don't mix, don't go near, don't watch movies and things like this, where all of these chances are there. So what is happening? Islam is closing all the doors. Now, on the other hand, if you say, you have a person who is deliberately going to such places, and then from there it leads on to more and more serious things, right? One thing leads to another, and eventually you are actually committing zina, and then you say, no, but you say, I made tawbah. Okay, fine, very nice, you made tawbah one time. Now, what happened the second time? Next weekend, again, I go do that, Saturday night fever, right? Every day. So every Saturday, now what? That is the reason why Rasulullah ﷺ said, when a person is committing zina, his iman has left him. He said at that point in time, he does not have iman. Imagine if you die in that state, you are dying without Islam. As simple as that. Number two is that a person who continues to commit sin, the gravity of it increases every time he commits it. So, for example, if a person commits a sin once, it is a mistake, and then he makes tawbah, inshallah, mustahan, we have all faith in the mercy of Allah, that Allah will forgive him. But the person deliberately commits that thing a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. And also, the issue itself, if it is something which is in the section of haram, right? So whether it's eating pork or alcohol or zina, fornication, adultery, or whether it is telling lies. We take telling lies very, very simply. We don't consider telling lies. The man came to Mr. Sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I do many things. He said, I do all kinds of haram. There's no haram that I do not do. I do everything. I do all kinds of sins. I am willing to give up one thing. I am a weak man. I cannot give up everything. So I am willing to give up one out of them. So I am committing zina. I am drinking alcohol or whatever it is he was doing. So he said, I am willing to give up one thing. Tell me which thing I should give up. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give up telling lies. Don't tell lies. So the Sahaba very surprised. The man felt very happy. He said, oh, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it easy for me. Just don't tell lies. Khalas. He went away. The Sahaba very surprised. Rasulullah, he is doing all of these major problems, zina, this, and you told him only one thing. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, I know what I did. Now, that man now in the evening, he has his routine, so he has to go to his hangout with his friends, to his pub or to his, whatever it is, his club. So as he is about to set out from his house, he thinks to himself, well, tomorrow when I meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he tells me, so what did you do yesterday evening? What do I tell him? Yeah? Because he promised, I will not tell a lie. So now, can I go and tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I went and drank alcohol, I can't do that. So stay out of this. Don't go. Some other sin, zina or whatever it was, same question. If the Prophet ﷺ asked me, what will I tell him? So that leaving that one telling of lies became a protection for the man from everything. Alhamdulillah. So therefore, issue of haram, committing haram again and again, raises that now from haram, from sin to kufr. Because what is haram? Haram is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Right? What is the definition of haram? What Allah has prohibited. Imam Malik rahmatullahi even went to the extent of saying that we do not call anything haram except what Allah has prohibited. So even other things, I'm not saying it's forbidden to do that. The fuqaha, they know best. And so therefore, some things people have said are haram. Inshallah, this is correct. But Imam Malik and even Ibn Abbas radhiyallahu anhu, they used to say this, that they were very, very, very circumspect and very careful with terminology. So Imam Malik used to say that we don't call haram anything other than what Allah called haram. So now if you take that, zina, is it haram or halal? Is there a doubt? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it very clearly in the Quran. It's not a matter of doubt. It's not a matter of opinion. Eh? Zina is jayaz with this mazhab, and the other mazhab it is not jayaz. Eh? In this mazhab, zina is makruh tahrimi, and in the other mazhab, zina is haram. It's not an issue of mazhab. There is no scholar in the world who said that zina is halal. So also with the drinking of alcohol, so also with eating of pork, so also with eating of things which are not slaughtered properly, so also with dealing with interest income and so on, murder and stealing and all of this is haram. So now, here is an issue, I'm taking zina as an example, because it is so common today, it has become almost like a given. To say that, okay, here is zina, now it is haram, you know it is haram, but you don't stop from it, you continue to commit zina. You say, oh, well, you see, I have this girlfriend, and you have this girlfriend means what? In Islam, there is no girlfriend, right? So marry the woman, and if you can't marry the woman, leave her. Simple as that, right? It's not fair on her, it's not fair on you, that you are carrying on like this without any responsibility. So you commit zina again and again. So now what happens is that your action has entered the realm of kufr. And illa mashallah, I am not sitting here to make a fatwa or to say what Allah will do and will not do. I'm just explaining the principle to it, which is that if you continue to do something which is haram over and over, then you are committing kufr. And unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you, if you die in that state, then you have died as a kafir. You have died without Islam. It is as serious as that. We can't say I continue to do zina deliberately again and again and again. And then the people have this... again, this is, this Hindu philosophy which we have brought into Islam. We say, but you see, I am giving sadaqah. I am giving charity to this one and that one. You think Allah is muhtaj, na'uz billah, Allah is in need of your wealth. So I throw some money at God and I can do whatever I want. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I mean, that is adding insult to injury. First of all, you do something which Allah has made haram, and then now you want to, be arrogant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that, well, you know, I gave you money, no? So leave me alone. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How shameful, how utterly shameful is that? Seriously. So think about that. Very, very important. So let us stay with that which is safe and not wander off into areas which are unsafe, because to insist on sin is to invite a death without Islam. There is nothing that is worse than that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves and from our nufus, and to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.